Green Divas and Dudes are all about creating and supporting a healthy and earth-friendly economy. Listen to this segment to learn about one of our favorite Green Divas or Dudes in business, doing good for people and planet. Well, this is such an exciting day for me because one of my oldest, and I don't mean in age, and dearest friends who I have known and worked with on various things over, I'd say, like almost 30 years.
Almost 30
it's
years.
It's funny because we're only like 39.
I guess we were selling Girl Scout cookies together.
That's what it is. But she's an amazing, I would call her a serial successful entrepreneur. She has had a succession of wonderful businesses, all focused on health, natural products. She had a health food store, Mrs. Herbs, mm-hmm. Which I still call grassroots Mrs. Herbs. I can, and I'm sure it makes that guy nuts. But now she is the founder of a fabulous company called Chia Star, the founder and CEO. And we're going to talk about that in a separate, we're going to talk about it a little bit here, but we'll talk about that in more detail in another segment about chia seeds and some really interesting things she's working on. But I want to talk in this episode about her background as an entrepreneur, as a successful female entrepreneur in the natural products industry. And I was watching a video on your site, and I hadn't realized, I kind of knew in the back of my head that there was a history in your family of this.
Oh, yeah.
But talk about that, where it comes from for you.
Yeah. It's interesting because it's so much a part of my part of me cellularly that I often don't make that connection.
Right. You take for granted the rest of us have not been brought up in an organic household.
Yeah. And, you know, because I didn't go to college for these things, you know, I was in the sciences and animal science and zoology. So it really wasn't till I got disenchanted in the corporate world that I kind of returned to looking at things that really were my native interests, mm-hmm. you know, which were about organic. So, yes, when we grew up, my mom was quite the innovative type.
Yeah.
You know, she, even though she was an RN, she had organic gardens. She'd been brought up that way.
Mm-hmm.
Copies of Prevention magazine,
right,
organic gardening, you know.
I just recently interviewed Maria Rodale for the second time, speaking of someone who, you know, you're like one of the only people that she, you know, can relate to in terms of having been brought up in a household that was kind of, breaking boundaries back then.
Right. That she was one of my mom's heroes, you know, the Rodales.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom's sister was one of the first organic farmers market organizers in California.
Oh, that's right. You have California roots, don't you?
We do. And my aunt is also still an organic rancher and organic nut farmer in Oklahoma.
Wow.
So, a long line of that. And
do you know all these years I've known you? I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
That is so cool. And I've met your mother. I've met all these people,
right,
or a lot of them.
And on my dad's side, you know, even though he was an airline pilot, his side of the family were dairy farmers in Lancaster and came off the line of Simple People, which were a derivative of, the Mennonites.
Oh, okay.
And they were all farmers and organic, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Not that there was any rules about that then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was always a big thing. They bought Rachel Carson's book, Silent Spring, in the early 60s, and we read that. And, you know, that was, kind of impactful on what her vision of what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And we would go to California 2 to 3 times a year, you know, to visit family because my father's side was also out there. And so I remember being about 12 and we were in the car and we were driving by a large supermarket and there were strikers, and they were migrant workers. And I asked my parents, what's that? What's going on? You know, why are these people holding these signs? And they look angry and like, oh, well, they're striking. You know, they're farm workers, they're migrant workers. I'm like, well, what are they striking? Well, you know, this is all being organized by Cesar Chavez. Mm. And he's angry that these people get treated so poorly. And so that just opened up this whole thing for me. I'm like, well, what do you mean?
How
do
they get put?
Why are they being treated poorly? And then, you know, it started there.
Yeah.
You know, then I started to ask more questions and find out that, you know, they were dying of cancers at 10 times the rate of the normal population, that their one out of two of their children were being born with deformities. And,
yeah, because they were exposed to, horrible toxic chemicals.
Intense amount of chemicals. Mm-hmm. You know, they had no protective gear when they would work in the fields. They couldn't read English, so they often didn't read the labels accurately on the use of the pesticide. Mm. And so Cesar Chavez was really the one that kind of began a movement that, you know, began with the mistreatment of the migrant worker, but it kind of led into this, what was happening to our food supply as a result of pesticides, and then the kind of trickle-down problem that pesticides would be in water, soil, residue on food to human health.
And so you were really inspired by what you saw. You saw this, you know, we read about it, there are plays about it now, but you actually witnessed some of this, and that had an incredible impact on you, obviously.
It did. And when I finally left the corporate world to go on my own, for many reasons, most of them ethical, that I felt I needed to do something that I had a real passion for, and that had always been there. You know, so when I started the first full-service natural food store in New Jersey, I made a commitment to have everything that we carried be certified organic.
And, you know, I want to say out loud, like, that was so brilliant. And for me personally, looking for that, and when I moved back down here from the Berkshires, that's when I remember your store, and it was in the 80s.
Right.
And to be able to walk into a place and know and trust that everything in there has been carefully curated and selected by you, you know, and I got to know you and trust that you really understood.
Right. At the time, it was really difficult to find a good selection of organic produce because really only California had a certification program. They were the first, California Health and Safety Code. And then Vermont came with, they were next, they were the second. And there were no federal guidelines at the time. So it was kind of a state by state. And in the 80s, it was just two states that decided to really get behind this. Mm-hmm. So we would have to ship our produce in E3 containers from California to Newark Airport. Mm-hmm. And in the middle of the night, take my dad's truck, go pick it up, bring it back to the store. And it was quite an ordeal. Yeah. And people didn't even know what the word organic meant in relationship. I mean, there's a term that means having a carbon in the molecular chain, but we now mean it as organically grown. So I had to train people.
You had an education curve here in this particular community, you know.
Right. So it was interesting because in the food service department, I was strict about they could only use organic products in everything that they made. So my chefs would be like, but there's no celery this month because you haven't been able to get any organic celery. I'm like, well, you're just going to need to be creative. Mm-hmm. So they would use like the ends of bok choy, or, you know, things like that.
Right. And so the fish salad with bok choy bits.
Exactly. And I was just, you know, hell bent on sticking to that. And then within a year, distribution began on the East Coast with organic produce. Mm-hmm. Albert's Organics actually was the first
Albert's
one. And he began an East Coast division. So that made things a lot easier on us. And then it, you know, slowly began to broaden. But, you know, things were amazing then. I mean, you might get 1 week of organic strawberries in a year.
Yeah.
You know, you might
think about it now, right?
Yeah.
Although there's all this controversy about how a lot of these organic strawberries may not actually be organic.
Well, of course. And you see that in every industry, no matter what. Yeah. You know, things get to a certain size and then it seems like wherever you put humans and the potential for large profits, you get corruption. So, but as a percentage, you're better off even if something isn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So now you moved on. I know you did beautiful. I would call it more gardening than landscaping, although was hard to find. I used to as a gardener because you can't find everybody's a landscaper and they were just going to murder all my flowers.
Right. Yeah.
But you've moved on from that business now, and now you're making this amazing. And I'm going to have a sip while we're talking because I'm so thirsty. This Chia Star. Fabulous drink. And
soaked chia.
So yeah,
fully soaked chia. Yeah.
Yeah. Explain what that means.
Well, we've realized over the years that we were continually researching chia, and that it was soaking chia that brings it to its most potent state.
Okay.
And that was how the Aztecs and Mayans primarily used it when they would go on long treks or to war or where they wouldn't be able to eat or drink for multiple days.
Okay.
And so we do the full soak, which we're the only beverage company that does that. Most companies are grinding their chia, which doesn't allow this feature to happen where the little gum fiber bundle around the seed actually blows up like a water balloon. It's holding 10 to 12 times its weight in water. And what that allows is a sustained release hydration, which nothing else does other than fruits and vegetables because their water is also trapped in a fiber bundle.
Okay.
So in this case, because it's a mucilage fiber, a gum fiber, it will transit the intestinal tract very slowly. And what's nice about that is that as it releases its fluids, it releases the water, it does so in a method that allows for cellular uptake and a much higher percentage.
So you're absorbing more of the good stuff.
You are. So when you drink water, you generally have a rush to the bladder.
Right.
Right? Because it's unobstructed. But in this way, it's in this gummy fiber bundle. So studies are coming out now about how that just is not only offering. So it's like drinking 3 to 4 bottles of water because you're absorbing more. But it's also allowing the gum fiber to do this healing action because it is like the fibers that are in slippery elm or in okra.
Yeah.
So that's the mucilage family. There's also a healing component to the lining of the intestinal tract. That's really nice. And for when I was doing a private practice in nutrition, my specialty was in intestinal disorders, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, irritable bowel. One of the things that we've found is so wonderful with soaked chia is that it slows down the bolus in the intestines, which is the food matter that somebody may have eaten. Mm-hmm. So we recommend, drink a Chia Star, then eat.
Okay.
And so what that does is now they can absorb more nutrients from the food they eat.
Okay.
Where many of these patients have malabsorption issues because things, the inflammatory response of the intestines are just causing the food to just kind of go through, sometimes undigested in large part, but definitely not absorbed well. And so there's all that.
Wow, there's all that and then some.
And then I didn't even get into all the nutrient density. It's an intensely nourishing, healing food.
Yeah, I mean, if you have been asleep or under a rock, you don't know that chia is like this magical, fabulous superfood.
We call it a super duper food.
It's a super duper food.
Yeah.
And it is very cool. Although I know at one point I was putting chia in all kinds of things, and I had this habit of putting it in some yogurt in the morning and letting it sit for a while with some fruit or something, and I ate too much once. I don't know what too much actually means, but it meant that, I had a lot of cleansing that day.
A lot of cleansing that day, yeah. And, you know, that's an okay thing to do, but we still recommend that you do the 10-to-1 ratio water to seed and an overnight soak because it really does take that to get to full capacity.
So here's one of the issues I have with organic in general, and I want to start polling some of these companies because nobody asks, they ask about the soil content. Is water and the quality of water, obviously it's a huge issue for you because this is such a water intense product.
And that's why I selected the place that I did where I make this. Mm-hmm. It's an area of Vermont that is noted for its water quality.
Okay.
And there's also filtration on it. I mean, that just has to be now, you know. So that's really important, I think. You know, in beverages, you really don't know what method of filtration is being used.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and in any organic, you know, when I think of organic strawberries, we're back to that again. Are they watering these organic vegetables with clean, you know, filtered water? Or?
I doubt it.
Yeah, and that to me doesn't feel like it's like that should be a component mm-hmm. of a certification. At least I want to know that, you know, these were all because the water content in so many fruits and vegetables mm-hmm. is high, right?
Right.
That's like when I water my house plants. I use my filtered water. Wayne's like, that's ridiculous. I said, no, it's not.
No, yeah.
It's filtering through.
Well, that could very well be one of the, you know, you see so much evolution happening now in food and beverage, you know, because of the push for transparency, because of so much bad news coming out about about large CPGs and the way that they
mislabel
consumer product group
Thank
and the
you.
Way that they mislabel mm-hmm. or say things in a certain way, like no sugar added. Well, you didn't need to add sugar because you had 50 grams in a serving because it was mango puree.
Yeah, right.
Oh, well, that's natural sugar. No,
yeah, but it's
sugar. The science now says that fructose, which mm-hmm. is the sugar of that mango puree, is actually more harmful to the human genome than sucrose.
Jeez.
So they know this. Mm-hmm. They know this. So all that's being taken apart.
Well, and people are demanding it. Consumers are becoming more educated.
Yeah, and the millennials are pushing hard for this. And so you're starting to see a fragmentation in food and beverage, not only more and more smaller companies coming out, but defining themselves even more so.
Right.
You know, by I don't have this in or I'm doing this.
I'm non-GMO, I'm gluten-free, mm-hmm. I'm vegan, I'm, mm-hmm. you know, plant-friendly. I don't know, whatever it is. Yeah. There's so many different things.
It is.
And I know you're very conscious. I'm looking at your label. It's beautiful. Now, where are your products? I know they're distributed around here, mm-hmm. And we are in northern New Jersey, but I think it's available in other places.
It's in the
I'm drinking more, by the way, if you hear me.
Most of the Northeast region. So we're in Whole Foods Northeast, mm-hmm. which is New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Long Island. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of where we cut our teeth in that region. And
well, they're tough to please, those Whole Foods buyers. I know. I've worked with them.
Yes. you know, they love the low sugar aspect mm-hmm. of this, and the flavor profiles of the five flavors are really, really delicious. And we're in the Whole Foods South region, which is Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, and Mississippi now.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Store in Birmingham, Mississippi. And King Supermarkets, which are part
Yay.
Of New Jersey.
Yeah, that's...
And we're in a number of New York mm-hmm. independents like Fairway and Morton Williams and a growing number of health food and gourmet food stores. And we just got accepted into one of the largest, well, the largest natural specialty products distributor in the world. So it'll allow us to, you know, kind of select the next areas we want to go, which is the Mid-Atlantic region.
Okay. So not in California yet?
No, I'd like to kind of dig deep on my own turf first.
Right. Get this covered first.
Yeah. So we just finished our first... We didn't finish. We're halfway through our first capital raising round.
Oh, cool.
With angel investors. And that's been, so that's allowed us to have the growth that we just went through in the last like 5 months was the capital infusion.
Fantastic. Well, I've been down that road and it's, you know, it's like a roller coaster ride.
Yep.
And I'm excited for you. I love, love, love. And I'm not, I only really drink water, tea, and a little bit of coffee.
We like, a lot of people tell us that.
I'm not a soda or juice drinker, but right. I am in love with, right now what I'm drinking, by the way, is the organic lemon berry. And it's sugar-free, you said.
Yeah, it's zero sugar.
Zero sugar.
A little bit of stevia.
And it tastes so freaking good. I am now converted. I'm a Chia Star fan. And, you know, I knew I would like it, but I didn't realize how much I really would enjoy this. And now that we're talking about all the benefits, I'm like, oh, you have to stock up on this stuff, man.
Yeah. It's a great snack. It's a great midday pick-me-up.
Like right about now.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, it's wonderful to see you. I'm so excited for you, for, you know, what you're doing and the new evolution of your entrepreneurial career, which I've always admired. And people can learn more about you and Chia Star where, how?
www.chiastar.com.
That easy, huh? Well, and I would encourage you to go look, and there's a really great little video of you there, and you can see Sarah and learn more about what she's doing with Chia Star. Thanks so much, Sarah. You'll have to come back soon.
Thanks, Megan.
To learn more about this Green Divas and Dudes in Business segment and find even more about low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green, please visit thegreendivas.com. That's THE greendivas.com.